Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat, all things money and well-being. And my guest today is Jenny Wright. Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Phil.
Jenny is a regional manager for the Money and Pension Service and is responsible for the work of money guidance through Money Helper and really promoting the work of the Money and Pension Service, otherwise known as MAPS, on a wider basis from employers to communities and so on. So, Jenny, tell us a little bit about the work that you do and what that entails.
Yeah, so thanks, Phil. So the Money and Pension Service is an arm's length body of the Department for Work and Pensions. So all our support is government backed, which is a really important message to get out there. And we're here to really drive forward the UK strategy for financial wellbeing. So we've been given a remit by the government over the next sort of 8 years now around helping people to be more better financially educated. Understand where they can get the support and help from, and basically to improve the overall financial well-being of people across the UK. And actually, Phil, we've got a definition of financial well-being. So we believe that it's knowing that you can pay the bills today, you can deal with any unexpected bumps in the road as you're going through life, and also you're on track for a healthy financial future so that you're feeling secure, confident, and empowered to make decisions about financial products and services.
That's brilliant, Jenny. Yeah. And just on that point, I'm just thinking about the figures around how employees in the UK feel at the moment about their finances. And we can understand at the moment things are looking quite challenging financially. So 94% of the working population say they worry about money, and interestingly, out of that 94%, 77% say it affects their work. So how do you think we could begin to sort of tackle that?
So interestingly, moving on from that figure of 77% of people bring their money problems to work, 69% of employees across the UK believe it's the responsibility of their employer to help them get financial guidance and have the tools and resources there for them to get themselves in a better position. So actually, your staff, you know, if you're an employer, your staff might be thinking, well, it'd be really great if you could help me understand what I need to do, give me some tips and, you know, the way to go. So really what I'm keen to do is make employers aware of the support and free tools and resources that we can give them to put this financial wellbeing strategy in place at work for their staff. The other thing that I think is really important is that, you know, you mentioned people taking these money worries to work, and as they take those worries to work, they're not being as productive as they might be. You know, if they're not worried about money, they're probably more engaged and productive at work. So I think the key thing for employers is to understand that it will affect their bottom line. So it is in their interest to put some sort of support in place for staff and really make a difference.
I think it's a valid point because oftentimes when I talk to different employers, that there's kind of a mixed bag in terms of attitudes and understanding around this area. I think on the one hand, you've got some who are concerned that they're not the experts in this. So how on earth do they do this? How do they cover it? And actually, is it their responsibility? And then you've got the other side where you've got companies who are actively engaged in looking at wellbeing programs and strategies, but oftentimes forget things like the finance side. And we know, the financial well-being aspect is one of the pillars of well-being and has a profound impact on people's lives. When you think that what one in four marriages or one in four relationships break down often because of financial conflict in the relationship. And so we know, like you were saying earlier about When people are worrying about things, they're not fully engaged at work, and it has a profound impact there. And likewise with breakdown of relationships. It's a challenging thing, but how do we help and sort of encourage those employers to say, okay, you're not responsible in one sense, but you are in another, and this is how you can do it?
Yeah. So I think employers can act as a conduit to the support that we can give individuals. We have lots of free tools and resources via our Money Helper site. That's moneyhelper.org.uk. And as I mentioned at the beginning, because we're an arm's length body of the Department for Work and Pensions, all the information that we give out is from a trusted source. It's safe, so that if you were to share some of the information that we can provide with your staff, you know that you're not getting them into even more of a pickle in terms of, you know, scams, things like that. So that's a really key point that I would want to get across. And that's my role is basically to help employers understand the needs of the staff, and also share with them some really quick and simple ways that they can support on a basic level, and moving that forward through, you know, quite an elaborate wellbeing strategy. And like you said, I think it's really important to understand, yeah, we've got physical wellbeing sort of taken care of, you know, making adjustments for people at work. We've also now got mental health very much on the radar, which is fantastic. But actually, if you don't underpin that with the financial wellbeing, then the impact on mental health particularly can be really quite dramatic. So we know that financial wellbeing and mental wellbeing are very intrinsically linked. So as I say, we can put some real basic stuff. It might be something just like on a staff intranet with a link to Money Helper website, or it might be an email that, or a link on a wage slip that goes out, again, signposting to the Money Helper website. Yeah. Moving all the way through to, for example, running sessions with your staff, explaining all the support that's out there, showing them how to use the tools, and building up to like money awareness weeks. And also, we have a Talk Money Week every year in November. So that's a really good time to sort of get that message out there. We have a toolkit that we send out to everybody. It's got loads of good ideas, stuff for social media, event ideas, things like that, that you can help your staff to sort of, or just raise awareness at that time of year.
Yeah, I can definitely vouch for both in terms of the resources you have on your website, and also being a member myself of the Money Helpers network.
Yeah,
there's an awful lot that MAPS is doing in terms of supporting individuals, but also at the same time adding some weight behind it for employers as well, so that, you know, you're right, so they don't have to worry about the fact that, you know, can they trust the information they're giving their employees? If they're using your materials, then they certainly can, and I can certainly vouch for that. I'm thinking of one of the things that I've spotted over the years with regards to how people are with money, and I think we don't stop for a moment and think about it or observe, but so many people respond so differently to their finances.
Yeah.
So as a nation, we often say, you know, if you're a saver, you're good with money. If you're a spender, ooh, you're not so good with money. We can be a little bit kind of judgmental that
way.
Yes,
that's right.
Yet all of us have reasons for doing what we do. And whether we agree with them or not, they are our reasons. Yeah. And one of the things that struck me was how people, when they've gone through difficult circumstances and then come out the other side, how some of them then find themselves, it's almost like a circular approach, you know, they're back in this cycle, back into a difficult position because of choices and behaviours they make. And it really struck me, and that's one of the reasons why on my sort of materials, I've got the psychology of money, and helping us understand, how do I personally relate to money? Why do I make the choices that I make? What's important to me? And I know when people are in a difficult financial situation, you need to deal with the crisis in a sense.
Yes.
I get that. But when you've dealt with that and you've got the dust has settled, the question is then, well, how do we help people not come back and repeat the
Yeah.
same old behaviours, that the habits and the attitudes that we hold? I
Yeah.
mean, what are your thoughts on that, Jenny?
So I think as we go through life, we're hit by various life events, aren't we? Things that we know might come down the tracks, like you might want to get married, you might want to have a family, you might want to buy a house. So they're sort of big areas of finance as well. But also, then some things happen in life where you can get your legs taken from under you. So you might be made redundant, there might be a bereavement, and you lose an income in the household. So there's things that we can't always plan for. And there's things that we know are coming down the tracks, but we don't necessarily know how to deal with them. So, one of the really good resources that we've got at Money Helper is called The Couch to Financial Fitness. And basically, that is like it's like Couch to 5K, only less sweaty and doesn't take as much effort. But it's a self-taught plan over 9 weeks. The first 4 weeks of which are around money basics, so that would be budgeting, where to get help if you are in debt or you're struggling with your finances, how to start saving and thinking about different types of saving. That's so the basic stuff, and then it moves on over the next 5 weeks to really big, big sort of financial situations. So, like I mentioned, what to do if you want to buy a house, starting a family, all the way through to planning for when you stop working. So when you come to retire, what the end of your life is going to look like, what that sort of picture is that you've got in your head, and how you can get towards that goal. And then there's also, again, the protection side of things. So we know that there's some not particularly nice people out there that try and get hold of everybody's money. That's their sort of job in life, is to try and extract money from people. So we're very, very wary of making people aware of the types of scams out there as well, and how to protect yourself against these fraudsters. So that 9 week program is a really good way of sort of understanding the basics, and then thinking about what might happen to you as you go through life, and how to start building plans for those events as well. So I think that's a good way of doing it. But actually, making people stick to that is a different story altogether, isn't it? But if you know where you can go and get sort of that basic support and keep coming back to it, if something else changes in your life, then you've got that really good library of information that you can dip in and out of when you need to.
So that 9-week program, then, that's on the Money Helper website that you gave us the address. Just remind us of the address again.
So that's moneyhelper.org.uk.
Brilliant, brilliant. It's certainly, and I would strongly recommend, people take a look at that. And we all know if you have a plan and you stick to that plan, then you're in the driving seat. It certainly does reduce stress and anxiety around money, in itself. And more so if you understand how you relate to money, what your drivers are. That, I was talking to a client recently, and if you were to sit and chat with him and ask him questions about how he managed his finances, you'd say, well, this chap's really got a handle on his money. He really knows what he's doing, and he's got goals. He's got things that he's saving toward. And as we were chatting, he was saying, he told me that he really loves cycling. That's his hobby. And he was walking past a shop in his main street of his town the other day, and the shop had some offers on, like discounts and things like this. And he thought, oh, there's some parts there I really would like to get. Oh, they're on special offer. I think I'll go and get them. And when he got home, he sat and thought for a while, and he thought, do you know what? I've just undermined my goals because I spent money I hadn't planned to spend on things instead of putting it towards the goals that I had. And it struck me when he was talking, we kind of laughed about it, but actually there are a lot of people who will look at their planning. You rightly said, you know, it's about sticking to a plan.
Yeah.
But do struggle to stick to a plan because they're so drawn, whether it's that impulse buy-in or whether it's the special offers as we walk around the supermarket because we haven't had anything to eat, we're starving. It's interesting how a shopping basket looks, doesn't it, when somebody's hungry as opposed to when they're not hungry. But you know what I mean. It's these influences, these temptations, mm-hmm. That kind of draw us off piste in a sense. And do you come across that sometimes in terms of your conversations with people?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I can relate to that myself. You sort of decide you're going in one direction, but then something comes up and you weren't really going to have that now or do anything about that now, but this is a great time because it's on, like you said, a special offer. And the other thing that I think is a really top tip from me is never take your partner shopping with you, because that costs a lot more money. If you know, if you allow them to put things in the trolley, that's a dangerous situation to be in, and that's been the cause of many a row in my household on a Saturday morning. But yes, or perhaps that's my fault for not communicating the budget properly to my partner, but it's easily done. But I think if you do have a plan that you can keep going back to, and you're aware I've changed what I was going to do there, how can I get back on track? I suppose the thing is, if you haven't got a plan in the first place, you're never going to be able to get back on track. So having a plan and potentially veering off occasionally is better than not having a plan at all, isn't it?
It's interesting. It's a little bit like going on a journey, not knowing where you're starting from. So therefore, how do you know how to get there? And it's the same with not having a plan. If you don't know where you're at, how can you make adjustments? And the other thing, I mean, I laugh when you're talking about, you know, your partner and having a chat with them. That's one of the issues, isn't it? Communication. Yeah, and one of the things I say, and my top tip would be, as a couple, make sure you talk about your finances together. Yeah. And if you're making a plan, make a plan together. So you're, to coin an old phrase, we're all singing from the same hymn sheet.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And therefore, that your sort of conflicts, as much as we laugh about it, yet we know it's quite a serious matter, isn't it?
And absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Jenny, I'm conscious of time. Thank you so much. I hope some of the things that we've said there have really helped our listeners. Mm-hmm. If they want to know any more, you've got the Money Helper website. Yeah. And also, if you want to ask any questions or point in the right direction or any helps, then obviously you've got myself, Phil Holdsworth at Aurum Gold, you can have a chat with. And so, yeah, thank you very much, Jenny, for your valuable time. We really appreciate that.
Thank you for the conversation. It was really fun. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.